It's time for Supply Chain Now Radio, sponsored by Apex Atlanta and Talent Stream. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the country, Atlanta, Georgia, Supply Chain Now Radio spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the companies, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day. Now, here are your hosts.
All right, good afternoon. Scott Luton here with you live on Supply Chain Now Radio. Welcome to the show. Today in a special episode, we are in beautiful Blairsville, Georgia at Granddaddy Mims Distillery, a landmark in the region that produces outstanding adult beverages in part through supply chain excellence. Like all of our series on Supply Chain Now Radio, you can find our replays on a variety of channels, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and our great friends over at Business Radio X. As always, we'd love to have you subscribe so you don't miss anything. Joining me here today in Blairsville is my co-host, Will Haraway, founder and lead evangelist with Batbeat Marketing. Hey, Will.
Hey, buddy.
There it is. You muted me.
Three or four buttons later. Okay,
you
we got
muted
you.
Muted me. But yes, hello, sir. It's good to be here.
You know me. I like to be the only one talking. So
there
sorry.
You go.
Will, you obviously are a part of the hashtag Supply Chain City Crew, which we've been spotlighting businesses and supply chain leaders across the metro Atlanta area. And now, of course, we're expanding that region with shows like today. And Will's also a member of the Apex Atlanta Executive Advisory Board, where we had a great meeting earlier this week.
We did. Yeah, it's fun.
What a cool venue.
Can't beat the view.
We were at a law firm, Arnall Golden Gregory LLP, which sits in the Wells Fargo building, just right by the connector downtown. And their conference room literally hung over the connector. It was a really cool place, great meeting.
180 or 360 degree views. It's really cool. You just see how many trees there really are in Atlanta, which is kind of unique, I think.
But you know what? On the drive up here to Blairsville, one of my favorite drives.
Yeah, beautiful.
Plenty of things. I think I ran off the road a couple times trying to take pictures of some of the scenery, but we really enjoyed it, and we're glad to be here. So let's welcome our featured guest. First off, Tommy Townsend, country music recording artist and owner of Granddaddy Mims Distillery. Good afternoon, Tommy.
Good afternoon. How are you?
We are glad that we're here today. Glad that you had some time to sit down with us, and thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
You bet. Fred Midkiff, Chief Financial Officer here at Granddaddy Mims Moonshine. Good afternoon, Fred.
Loosely defined CFO.
You look like you wear a lot of hats, Fred.
Thank you, Scott. Yes, I do.
we have good fun with titles around here. So, Fred's a great friend and family member, but Fred and Tommy were teed up for a great conversation. Glad to be here at Granddaddy Mims Distillery. Okay, so before we dive into it, what it's a great story, unique story here, Will, we want to talk about some of the top things to know in supply chain now, right?
Yeah, sure. I got one serious thing and one fun thing. Which one do you want me to start with?
Start with the serious first, and then we'll move into the
okay.
fun stuff.
Well, as we know, a couple of weeks ago, we had the threat of the border closing by the administration and sort of all of the different things that went into that. And so what that really was that companies and suppliers got a small taste of what a border closure would actually be like as they scrambled to move products into the over the border amid the just massive lines that all of those statements and posturing sort of created. At checkpoints all along the U.S. border, average delays last week were up to 3 hours. I mean, and that's per truck. Just stacking up and stacking up and stacking up. And what that meant for a lot of the companies that do that kind of business is they had to really reassess, like, all right, well, how are we going to get our stuff into the country? Mm-hmm. And so sometimes, especially when you're dealing with raw materials, they'll just go and create an entirely different strategy and work with their 3PL or their, you know, provider, somebody like, you know, American Global Logistics in Buckhead, for example. Mm-hmm. They can do that. Take the material that you need and then go look overseas and just do it by ocean or do it by air instead, because it's just not worth the trouble of waiting all that time. And that's kind of the calculus that they have to make, is like, well, you know, the delay versus the extra cost. And
business has got to continue regardless of what's going on with government, regardless of what's going on at the border. You know, we still got to ship stuff in and out, and we got to find a way.
Right. And that's an issue that is not going away. I feel sure that we will be talking. I mean, obviously they delayed the you know, the threat of the closing for an entire year, the Trump administration did. So we may be talking about this all year and certainly next year.
Well, it's better than tariffs.
It is better than tariffs. I did have that on my list.
Of course.
Of course, but I'm not talking about tariffs today.
Will is the official Supply Chain Now Radio tariff analyst and commentator. I'm kidding. Will does a great job on these technical issues that are above my pay grade. But, Will, so that's the more serious item, right, that we're going to have to figure out.
Well, the other one is last Saturday was a holiday. Did you know what holiday it was?
Last Saturday would have been Passover.
Well, yes, indeed, and you took it in a turn that I wasn't quite prepared for, but I'll tell you the fun side is that it was 420, colloquially known as 420, which is the weed holiday, the cannabis holiday. So what does that mean? Well, if you are a dispensary, and there are plenty of them around this country now, then you have to plan for that demand spike the same way that retailers have to plan for Christmas and you know, Cadbury Bunny has to plan for Easter.
That's right.
The weed guys got to plan for more people buying weed before 420 because they want to celebrate. So a company called Caliva out of San Francisco, they reported that their delivery capacity was up 120%. So like any, you know, retailer, you got to plan for that. You got to project that demand, and as you know, this business continues to evolve, you know, over the years, and they're going to get better at forecasting that inventory and making sure they have enough on hand to service their customers.
Sure, and you know, on a more serious note, we've all probably had folks in our network that there's a lot of uses of things related to cannabis, and it's good to see some of the loosening regulation, you know, seizures, and you know, there was a gentleman we did business with years ago. He had two children with certain conditions that could only be treated or was really helped out with hemp oil and cannabis and you know, kind of these blended related products, and they couldn't get it in Georgia because of the laws and regulations, He was getting treatment in Colorado.
Right.
So we're seeing some of that loosen both here, and there's been a lot of talk in South Carolina, and we'll kind of see where it goes. But, you know, it's good that folks maybe can get easier access to some of the things they need.
So many jokes I'm going to just leave right on the table.
Okay. So I'm always throwing a wet blanket on things, but, hey, what can I say? One more thing on my radar. So, Will, any I know you. What anything else from the news desk there?
No, that's good. Like I said, I think we should leave tariffs alone today. This is too fun of an environment to talk about that.
Oh, this is we got a great story for our listeners lined up here today here at Granddaddy Mims Distillery. So, but on one last serious note. So we were yesterday at Emory University where we sat down with four veterans, two Army veterans, a Marine, and a fellow Air Force veteran. And a couple of them were with Home Depot, and one was with UPS, and one was with Emory and the Vetlanta team, which is a great organization that does a lot of good work in Atlanta. You can check them out at vetlanta.org. And big thanks to Vetlanta's Chief Marketing Officer, Tyler Freeman, for setting everything up. Great Marine veteran and community leader. So, but I want to highlight here, you know, veterans are near and dear to our hearts here. I didn't have any idea that the Home Depot works as extensively as they do to support the veteran community. So 41,000 veteran homes renovated is what they've been doing since, like, I think 2011 or so. They have contributed $250 million since the same time frame towards veteran causes, and they've just recently committed another $250 million by 2025 towards, you know, veteran charities and move the needle. So those are huge, huge
That's
numbers.
Great.
And it's great to see, you know, corporate America step up and, you know, do the right thing there.
Indeed. And near and dear to your heart, Scott is an Air Force veteran as well.
That's right. Yep.
He's too modest to say it, so I got to be his hype.
Well, I appreciate that. But, you know, the other thing we've seen, you know, Starbucks. Starbucks, you know, speaking of some of the political stuff, you put all that aside, they've made huge commitments to hire veterans and give them jobs.
Right.
I want to say I think 15,000 veterans is what they committed to by 2020. They've already beat that. And then they're committing again to hire another 25,000, I think, by 2025. So,
oh, that's fantastic.
I mean, we're talking about organizations moving the needle.
Yeah.
So, well, that's a lot to tackle in about 7 minutes time in terms of some of the top things doing supply chain now, huh?
Yeah, man. Border issues and weed.
All right, so let's get to our favorite part. Let's bring our two featured guests back into the conversation. Again, Tommy Townsend and Fred Midkiff with Granddaddy Mims Moonshine. Good afternoon again, Tommy and Fred.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Glad to see y'all didn't go anywhere with all this great products surrounding us. So so before we dive into the story here, Granddaddy Mims, so Tommy, we'll start with you. Let's talk about where you grew up and want to make sure our listeners get a feel for who you are. So where did you grow up?
Yeah, I grew up right here in Blairsville, Georgia, actually about 2 miles from here.
Really?
Really, yeah.
And so your first job, was it distillery related?
No, not at all. My first job actually was playing drums in a square dance band when I was about 6 or 7 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, I think I got paid $5 or something.
What'd y'all play?
That. We played...
Like bluegrass?
Yeah, at Square Dance, they have a festival here called the Sorghum Festival every
year.
Oh,
yeah, I know that
one. And so my cousins, they did the square dances, and my dad played bass guitar, and I played drums.
Nice.
Yeah.
So did y'all get any encore performances that night, the square dance?
Oh, I don't think so. Not that I can remember.
So now, in your current role here, Granddaddy Mims Distillery, what do you do?
Well, I just kind of walk around and... people just say, hey, how you doing? No, I do a little bit of everything. You know, I help them back there, our distillers on Saturdays when they are distilling. You know, I label bottles. I, you know, fill bottles, drive the forklift, you know, whatever needs to be done. Mm.
Well, you know, one of the things that we've been after with Supply Chain Radio, you know, since we've done the first episode is really educating consumers on what goes on so they can enjoy the products they enjoy, whether it's moonshine or same day delivery or what have you. And it all comes, I mean, you know, supply chain and the work that goes on in operations and transportation and production is what makes it happen. So looking forward to learning more about the end of the supply chain here.
Yeah.
And one more fun item before we talk business, you've got a new record that came out in July 2018 called
Turn Back the Clock.
Turn Back the Clock.
Yeah.
And it's available, of course, all the record stores, Apple, iTunes, Pandora, you name it.
Yeah.
And the title track is the main, one of the,
The song that's playing out there now on the radio and XM and everything is one called Drinking. Not related to
Moonshine.
Moonshine, yeah. We shot it. Yeah.
Well, and I told I told Tommy this earlier. I was listening when we first started talking about this, and I listened to the record immediately. I heard that song, and that's written by Holly Williams, who is Hank Williams' granddaughter.
Uh-huh.
And it's such a great choice, and y'all do it really well.
Mm. Yeah, it's funny. A friend of mine turned me on to that song a few years ago, actually before we even started cutting the record.
Yeah.
And so I was listening to it, and I was like, man, what a great song. And I took it to Shooter. Shooter Jennings produced my record, Waylon's son. And he's like, man, let's cut that, you know. So we went and we cut it and everything in L.A. We didn't cut it in Nashville.
Yeah, that's where Shooter works, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And L.A. is not as in Little Aiken, South Carolina, but Los
or
Angeles.
Or Lower
Los
Alabama.
Angeles. Yeah, yeah.
Well, that is it's fascinating. You know, it's not every day you sit down with a country music recording artist, and we're going to try to leave with some of the vinyl, right?
Oh, absolutely.
The original stuff, pops and crackles, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So, Tommy, thanks again. And, Fred, I want to turn things over to you. And if you listeners, if you're hearing that, it's because we're in a
distillery,
production.
Man.
That's right. We're in a production site.
Yeah.
But as we all know, we need some departure from the modern day pressures of making things, you know, at the right price, shipping them on the right time.
Yeah.
You know? This is going to be a fun episode that that dives into the adult beverage industry. So, Fred, on that note, I want to talk about where you grew up, and I think I know, but I'm going to let you tell a story.
I'm pretty sure you know too, Scott. I grew up in Gretna, Virginia, which is a town of 900 people in south central Virginia, which is actually smaller than Blairsville.
Really?
Yes. And there was a sign outside of town when I was growing up that said, ain't no big thing, but it's growing. That sign is still there, but the it's growing part has been marked out.
Well, it ain't no big thing, but it's growing. Is that sign still there?
It's marked out. The growing part is marked out.
Oh, man. So what was your first job?
My first job, Scott, was working in tobacco fields.
Okay.
At 9 years old. I did not have a Social Security number until I was about 15. But
wow.
Yes, 9 years old.
And that is not easy work.
So you're saying he got paid in cash?
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes. But I reported it all, of course.
Of course. Just like me and Tommy report all of our music.
Yes, sir.
Man, okay. Just so it's legal, Supply Chain Now Radio is not liable for any tax advice here today. But so your first job, man, picking tobacco leaves, right?
Yes.
Now, so what do you do in your role here, the CFO role?
Loosely defined CFO role.
Right.
This is like a lot of small businesses. A lot of people do a lot of things inside the building. And the highly esteemed CFO is no different than everybody else. I work with the financials, but I dabbled into marketing, into sales, unload a truck on a forklift from time to time, work the bar from time to time. It's really the epitome of a small family-owned business, and that was part of the charm that brought me here.
Yeah. He tells us where we can spend money, because the other day I found a guitar in Nashville. It's an old Fender Telecaster. It's $13,000, so I came back and asked Fred. I said, is that in the budget for us to buy this guitar? You know, we need it here.
What was the story on it? What was the year on it?
It was a 57.
Oh, yeah.
Telly.
Okay. Yeah.
So is that an expensive
just
purchase?
Any of those 50s Telecasters, everybody still wants them to this day, you know. It's great stuff.
That's a blind spot for me, you know. Yeah. I can't say I've ever purchased a guitar, but I guess the answer was let's hold off on that purchase.
Oh, yeah. it was more like no.
But the question is, Tommy, how many Telecasters do you own at this particular moment?
I have 5.
Yeah, see, there you go. There you go. But you can always own more.
That's right.
Yeah.
So shifting gears over to the product. We're here to certainly talk about the product and the operation behind it, and that's what our supply chain inquiring minds want to know about as well. So what is Granddaddy Mims Moonshine?
It was my grandfather, Jack McClure. It's his 85-year-old recipe that we distill right here in Blairsville. We do it all here. We don't source anything out. And using all local products.
Yep. And I think currently we're loading up a truck to go somewhere, huh?
Yeah, well, I think they're unloading some sugar for some mash this weekend.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Cool. Demand is good and healthy, which is great.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the history behind the product. So Jack McClure was your uncle? Is that?
Grandfather.
Grandfather.
Yeah.
So clearly he's a key figure in this history, but tell us more about the story.
Yeah, he was my mom's father, and he started making liquor back in the 30s, and made it all the way through when he passed away in 1969. Mm. He that funded a lot of politicians and a lot of things, and he made it over in Young Harris, Georgia, which is just near here.
Yep, home of Zell Miller, right?
Yeah, yes. Home of Zell Miller, and he and Zell were big buddies.
Really?
Yeah. He made it over there, and the his name was Jack McClure. All the grandkids called him Mim or Mimmy. That's where that Granddaddy Mims came from. So, he did a lot of good. He helped folks with it. He would, one of our slogans, drink responsibly and tithe on Sunday. What was the funniest? he would help all the churches around in the area. The one church that my family went to, my granddaddy never went inside that church, but he would always drive up in the summertime beside the open window and listen to the preacher. And as quick as the sermon was over with, he would drive off. Mm. But he always made sure when they had their, yearly picnics and everything, they had food. The graveyards were decorated with flowers, and people that couldn't afford to buy clothes or food or anything, Christmas presents at that time. He made sure that everybody in the community had what they needed, even at the local, clothing store, dry goods store, I think they called them back then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He had an account set up, and he said, anybody comes in here that can't afford clothes or whatever, he said, put it on my account, I'll pay it. So,
incredible community figure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was known jointly as a moonshiner and philanthropist.
Yeah. Yeah.
which is quite a combination.
Yes, mm-hmm. You don't hear that combination too often.
Not yeah. often.
At least not publicly.
Right.
Yeah. Drink responsibly and tithe on Sunday. I'm going to have to buy a T-shirt at least.
I'm telling you.
Really
yeah.
cool.
Yeah. Good advice. Yeah.
So before we kind of shift gears and talk about the end-to-end supply chain for Granddaddy Mims, I think, and it's important to note for our audience, that moonshine, it's not like it's 1969 or 1929. No. It is a fully legal product that is enjoyed yeah. by a wide variety of folks.
Yeah, and it's always been legal. Mm. Well, I mean, they just made it at night. The term moonshine came from, you know, they made it at night so they wouldn't have to pay taxes on it and ran it and sold it. Just it's unaged liquor, you know.
Right.
Jack Daniels, anything that comes out of a still at any, you know, is clear. It's yep. just aged in a barrel.
Right.
Know? So, but, you know, a lot of people will come in here and say, oh, this can't be real moonshine because it's made made here. And I'm like, no, it's
the real deal.
They're doing it the same way that they did in the woods. We're just doing it in a controlled environment, paying taxes on it. Mm. And our distillers have made it for 43 years. Mm-hmm.
Lots of taxes.
Yeah, lots of taxes, yes. Lots of taxes.
And we're going to ask y'all, we're going to talk about something like that later. But, you know, we came up here with the Georgia Manufacturing Alliance and had a chance to tour it and taste it and speak with some of the distillers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And just a fascinating, you know, it's so neat. If you haven't stopped in, because this is a pretty popular highway and byway, right, that folks that are going to cabins or
– yeah.
Yes.
Resorts or whatever, yeah. Stop in. You got to see it. You got to see it being made. And although some secrets are guarded, it's really neat to kind of hear firsthand. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the story behind the story.
Yeah.
All right. So shift gears. Let's over. And again, to our audience, you got to drink responsibly and tithe on Sunday.
That's
we're
right.
gonna say it seven more times. But Fred, let's bring Reed back in the conversation. What does the end-to-end supply chain look like for the organization here?
Well, Scott, the back door goes up, and inside the back door comes the sugar, the yeast, and the corn. The moonshiners then cook the mash, age the mash for a few weeks, put it into the still, distill it, goes into containers, goes over to the bottling, flavors on some of it, not on all of it. Gets bottled here, goes down the the assembly line, gets sealed, gets put in boxes, put on pallets, and shipped out the back door. So we do everything from start to finish. Mm. As you might imagine, even though it's not a sophisticated assembly line process, mm-hmm. We have to make sure that we have all of the right products at the right time. So that we don't get caught with our pants down and get late on an order of some sort.
Seems like an interesting, from, you know, talking with y'all here pre-show and touring what we did, I guess, a couple months ago, a really neat connection between the art and the science of making things here and making the product, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's everybody that works here takes a lot of pride. This sure. is just a great group of people
right.
that work here. Take a lot of pride in the labeling, in the bottling, in the making the moonshine. And yes, we have to do a little market research in the back of the building at times and do some tastings to make sure that we're on target.
Yeah, quality control.
Yes, exactly. And besides CFO, I'm quality control manager.
There you go. Well, I was curious, you know, we were joking about the, 420 being the demand spike for cannabis guys, but what about for the moonshine guys? Is there like a season that you have to ramp up your, you know, your production for, like July 4th or summertime, or I don't know?
Well, being in somewhat of a vacation area,
right.
a resort type of area, we have a lot of tourists.
Sure.
So a lot of the tourists will come by and take a tour and do a tasting, and inevitably always buy some to take
some
with
home.
Them.
Yeah.
yeah. So the tourism industry is really good to us.
Yes.
And we have embarked on a strategy to attract the tourists and make sure they know that we're here.
Right.
And to work that as far as we can, and we're doing a pretty good job of it.
Yeah.
So you got to be ready for the summer,
yeah.
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the cool thing about it is in 2017, Georgia the Department of Revenue passed it where we can actually sell 3 bottles per person per day.
Mm. Okay.
So,
What was it before that? That doesn't seem
nothing.
Is it just because of the content of the alcohol? Is that it?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. You know, distilleries and breweries were not allowed to sell.
Right. I remember that Sweetwater. Yeah.
Yeah, we started getting, we've been in business here, be 3 years this 4th of July weekend. But when we first started getting our license for the place, we couldn't even sell it. Mm. It was just tasting and production to ship to distributors. So, and during that time, then we opened in 2016. In 2015, they made it where they passed a law where you took a tour of the distillery and you could get a free bottle choice. So you're buying a tour of the distillery and getting a free bottle. And then September 2017, they changed it where they would sell, you know, we could sell 3 bottles per person per day.
Yeah.
That's with distilleries and breweries. And, of course, beer is different, you know, or whatever.
But, right.
But with distilled spirits, we can sell 3 bottles per person.
Yeah, I remember just the timeline of what you're saying, just from Sweetwater in Atlanta, Sweetwater Brewery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's the same way they had to do it, too. You would take a tour, and then you'd get a tasting, whatever the amount was. I don't remember exactly, but a tasting pour.
Yeah, distilleries breweries are the same, and wineries are a whole different category, you know.
Let's talk about, I mean, we're already touching on it, but some of the unique peculiarities or challenges related to the industry. I mean, distribution, clearly, you can't set up shop, and as you're talking about, and just sell it like you're selling bananas, right?
Yeah, Georgia has a 3-tier system, you know, with beer and wine, where you have to – we have to sell to a distributor, and then the distributor sells to the store.
Mm.
You know, we just can't make a bunch and
go
out and sell it to whoever we want to.
Like Granddaddy Mim did.
Which would be awesome to do.
Yes. So with that said, y'all have got, put about a bunch of emphasis in that distribution network, right, and building those relationships.
Yeah. And we go and visit with the distributor reps from time to time. Next week is the next group we're visiting to make sure they understand what we have and what's available for the stores, and then they go sell them to the stores. Yeah. We also late last fall, hired our own sales rep, and while he can't take an order from a store, he'll go in and talk to the store owners and convince them that it's a really good idea to stock our product. And then he'll text the distributor rep and place the order with the distributor rep, and then they ship the product to the store. Mm. So that's working real well for us.
Yeah.
So you're streamlining the communication as you build and grow the network.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. And United Distributors is our distributor here in Georgia. They're in Smyrna, Augusta, Savannah, Albany. So, you know, next week we're taking a trip, Fred and Burton and I are taking a trip to Albany to get in front of their people,
you know,
all their reps down there. And then next month we're going to Savannah.
Mm.
And
absolutely. You know, United Distributors, Blue Ridge Global client.
Oh, how about that?
They do their supply chain planning through Blue Ridge Global.
And we're going to see the great folks at Blue Ridge Global Monday and Tuesday.
We'll probably get them on the show.
That's
actually Mike Shutt, great guy.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Look forward to that. Well, great tie-in.
Love this. They provide all of the spirits to Braves Stadium.
Yep. Reigning NL East Atlanta Braves. We love the Braves. Everybody. Will's the biggest Braves fan here. He's a big Cards fan.
First place.
Yeah.
First place Cardinals, you mean?
We like the Cards. Yeah. Like the Cards.
It's early.
Speaking of Albany, by the way, so last week, the state of Georgia named its manufacturers of the year, large, medium, and small manufacturer of the year. So when you're down there, y'all will pass by probably. I imagine one of the main roads leads past the P&G plant down there. Really big paper plant, as you might imagine. They actually have a small little Pfizer plant as an attached where they make some of the hand and body warmers down there. We actually did a workshop down there years ago. But anyway, P&G won it for the largest manufacturer of the year for the state of Georgia. Just announced last week, the governor did. And one of the coolest things they did, the plant manager from P&G stood up and he talked about how in traditional business, it's a pyramid with him, the boss, so to speak, at the top and all the people down at the bottom. But at P&G, and especially his plant down there in I keep saying Albany, but I feel like I'm not pronouncing it Albany or all the local twist down
it's
there.
It's Albany.
There you go. I always mess that up.
Is that
always.
Right? I did not know that.
Oh, I was that when we were doing that, doing work down there. We really messed it up. But anyway.
South Georgia is different, baby.
But so back at this pyramid, down there, they've turned it upside down. So the people are at the top. Uh-huh. And it's basically the, you know, really instilling this servant leadership where, hey, what can I do for you, the people? And it's really, he spoke for probably 7 minutes, and everyone, all 1,000 people in the room, could listen to him for hours rather than, you know, some of this stuff. But when you really get that someone that the passion just comes out for
sure
about servant leadership, it's very powerful. But so when y'all see that plant, mm-hmm. give them a high five for their latest big win.
We will do that. Yeah. And if I may, Scott, a quick one-liner.
Yep.
The quickest way to customer satisfaction is employee satisfaction.
Mm. Oh, that's
beautiful.
Yeah, man. Another T-shirt.
Yeah, do we owe you any kind of commissions on that phrase as we put it on billboards and stuff?
I got all of the reward I need right here in this building.
Well, good stuff. So let's get back to distillery, and we want to talk a little bit more, and not to pour salt in it, but some of the unique challenges related to industry. What else comes to mind? I mean, we talked about, obviously, regulation in the warm-up chat. What else would y'all really – what else do you think your average listener or consumer that's out there listening that doesn't know anything about, like me, that knows nothing about distillery business and that industry, yeah. What else do you think big misconception out there?
Well, one thing I could throw out is not everybody makes their own moonshine that sells moonshine. We do our own. We do it with our own recipe. We do not mass produce it. We handcraft it. We treat it with tender love and care, and we're proud of it.
Mm, yeah.
Not everybody that makes moonshine makes their own, nor do they do all of the painstaking processes that we do here. Mm,
yeah. Right.
Love it.
Yeah.
Pride.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it sounds like there's a lot of white labeling that goes on in the industry where it's being touted as this, and it's made by something else out there. It's, you know,
it could be.
We never want to throw rocks at our competitors, but yes.
Okay. Well, you didn't say who they were. That's all.
That's right.
Right.
We call no names.
That's right. Well, so let's talk about the facility. We talked a little about the facility here, but you know, looking ahead, clearly it seems like y'all are growing, and you've already got an incredible story. Mm-hmm. I love the family history behind it, mm-hmm. and the sense of community that you're speaking to, Jack McClure, right? What mm-hmm. he did for others. So looking ahead, you know, what's next? You know, paint that picture for us.
Well, I mean, one thing, you know, my grandfather, and we try to pass that on to the community here now too. So we try to carry on that tradition, mm-hmm. of my grandfather, but. You know, the big thing that we want to do is just keep growing into more states, which we kind of, that's kind of a gradual thing.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be good to get a couple more states and then kind of back up for just a little bit and analyze it and make sure we can keep up with production and everything.
I'm assuming like North Carolina is obviously was right here. That would be one of them. Yeah.
North Carolina is I guess it's a control state. So it's hard to I don't think we're at the point to where we can get in there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think out of all 50 states, I think there's 13 controlled states that in the United States.
So what does that mean when you call it a controlled state?
It's all owned, I mean, like North Carolina, like ABC stores.
Yeah.
Like bars, restaurants, everybody has to go to the ABC store to get their liquor. It's not and then they pay you, like you send them product, they pay you when they sell it.
Mm.
You know, it's,
okay.
it's sort of, it's, well, some of them are different even in that. There's just so many, there's a lot of regulations of all this.
Even more regulations in those states.
Yeah. One thing we'd like to be able to do, and I think it'll happen in the future, is online sales.
Mm.
You know, because everybody that comes in here at the distillery, you know, they ask us, they say, well, can you ship?
Right, because they want to ship it.
Yeah, I mean, they may be coming here from, you know, out of town. They're flying or whatever and can't put it on an airplane or whatever. You know, so they will know, well, can you buy it online? And you can't now.
Right.
You know, but hopefully, you know, that'll change in the future. You know.
Send it as a gift. Yeah, there's all kinds of good reasons.
We actually, we're talking with Florida about you know, being distributed down there. Hopefully that's going to happen pretty soon. Cool thing about it is Florida is a state that allows online sales.
Mm.
So, you know, if we get in there, we'll be able to put like a tab on our website and our social media and all that where, you know, our customers can go to our website.
Make it easy.
Click on that, and then it goes to them. So the moonshine will come from the distributor in Florida. It won't come from here at the distillery. Mm. So that's, you know, that's a cool thing that hopefully
for sure. Well, good luck on that. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Nothing like expansion. I mean, that's what mm-hmm. that's what we're looking yeah. for.
And we're not trying to get into all 50 states at once here.
No.
What Tommy described, I like to call managed growth.
There you go.
We want to grow for sure, but we want to grow at a pace that we can handle, because you can grow yourself right out of business.
Mm. That's true. Yeah.
So we want to do it in a managed way.
Well, so when y'all look to expand, like so back to the Florida conversation or pick a state, do you typically start with identifying a distributor that wants to distribute it, and then you work through the state to get established?
Yes.
Is that kind of how it
starts?
Yeah,
you know, I mean, in you know, every state there's different distributors. Mm. You know, us being a craft brand, we need to find the right one, because sometimes when you get with these really big guys – you know, Granddaddy Mims Moonshine would just be a little bitty speck in their portfolio of 500 different products.
Right.
So we need to find the right.
Although I've never been into an adult beverage store to see what you're talking about. Yeah. But
you know, we need to find the right distributor. And then you have to get, you know, you have to get all the license and everything for the state. Yeah. That has to, you know, go through the Department of Revenue. And it's, you know, it's a time-consuming thing, you know, even down to what we do every time we put out a new product. We have to get a label designed, a label approved, and then we have to get the recipe of the liquor approved. You know, so
I've got a so how do y'all do the distribute? Do y'all ship to and control the transportation? To the distributors, or they come here? How does that?
They come
happen?
Here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they send a truck.
Okay. Is all that required? Is that required? Is that part of the regulations well in terms of how it's transported?
Yeah. I'd love to say, well, we could put it back in my pickup truck and haul it to Atlanta. But
can't do that.
I got a Jeep outside, Tommy.
Yeah.
Yeah. See us after the show, Will.
Yeah.
Telling you, it's going to be like, like Burt Reynolds up in here. Yeah.
There you go. Well, so, you know, one of the neat things we talked about in the warm-up conversation and certainly in some fire pit conversations way back when is some of the localization they are doing when it comes to your suppliers. Can y'all speak to that a little bit?
Yes, absolutely. We can't tell you that 100% of our flavorings come from the state of Georgia, but most of them do, at least. The apples, the peaches, certainly. The cherries don't. I don't know that we grow any cherries in Georgia. But the apples, peaches, they all come. We try to get them all from the state of Georgia. And even the corn, of course. Comes from locally grown fields.
Mm.
And the flavorings are, they're all natural. They're made with real fruit. There's no artificial flavorings used. Some of them are colored, some of them are not, but they're all as much as we can get locally grown. And the blueberries, that's the other one I was trying to think of.
So it's kind of like taking your vitamin each day. I mean, you got to have this stuff, right?
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the cool thing about locally grown is a couple of years ago, our distillers put out y'all know what Indian corn is, that multicolored corn for fall decorations. Well, this year, we're actually planting our own field of Indian corn at my parents' farm over here. So it was plowed the other day.
Yeah.
Wow. So
that's pretty local, right,
Scott,
there.
That's local.
Scott, you know what they say, a glass of apple moonshine a day keeps the doctor away.
That sounds about right, Will.
Yeah?
Tagline, Tommy.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Drink responsibly, tied on Sunday, and take your apple moonshine each day.
Yeah.
So any other so kind of on that, so localization of suppliers is certainly a trend that we've seen across different industries. And love to hear kind of what you are doing here. Going back to investing in the community, you know, doing business with local businesses, and also being able to maybe have more visibility into your your supply chain and products and the ingredients that you're putting into the products. What else?
If we need to visit with them for some reason, we get in the pickup and we ride down the road and visit with them. Mm. So we don't have to fly to Europe or several states away. We get in the truck and go see them.
Face to face.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Well, on that note, and there may not be anything perfectly that comes to mind, but what other from a business trend standpoint, anything else stand out in terms of kind of what y'all been reading about, how it's impacted the business here, market conditions, anything come to mind?
No, not really.
Well, making growth easier. You know, the state of Georgia's gotten something right. You know, they've been identified the number one state to do business with for 6 years in a row, right?
Uh-huh.
So while the industry has plenty of regulation, the state here has made it easier and easier and easier. You were talking about being able to sell it online like we can do down in Florida. Mm-hmm. Is that, are we going to see more of that in other states as we move forward?
Well, they loosen up some of those control regulations like you're talking about.
If you look back at the industry, the changes that have happened in this industry over the last several years, it's continuously improving.
Yeah, last couple years.
Yeah, I would have no questions at all about more loosening of regulations like online ordering. And that's not a prediction necessarily in the next 6 months.
Right.
But that sort of thing has been happening, and it's likely to continue to happen.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
What do you attribute those changes? I mean, why the improvements?
I just think it's the voice of the people.
Right.
When the people want something and they stick together, they'll get it.
It's just like the cannabis thing you were talking about earlier. A couple, 3 years ago,
it was heck no.
No. But it's, I think people are realizing – that this can help people, the cannabis or marijuana, whatever you want to call it. And I think, a lot of time up here, especially in the older generation, people used to drink to get drunk. I mean, that was the plan, especially with moonshine or liquor or whatever. And
I can't imagine anybody would do that.
But they just set out to get drunk,
Yeah.
And I think now, the social drinking or whatever, people are just into craft, beer, liquor or whatever.
And into health in general.
Mm. Yeah. And our stuff's gluten free. There's health nuts out there,
Exactly.
So I think that's, it's loosening up. And I think as we go along, the laws will relax more.
Yeah. Right.
Online or. Maybe it's where we can sell 4 bottles to a person per day or something. Right. I don't know.
Well, think about it. In Atlanta, what was it, 5 years ago, you still couldn't buy beer on Sunday until finally it was just like, this is kind of silly. Why don't we just go ahead and vote on this?
Well, to one-up you, in South Carolina, when I was in college, everything was mini-bottle driven. So if I'm not mistaken, I think at that time, the airline industries had these mini-bottles and the state of South Carolina, that's it. That was the market. And so if you're at a bar in South Carolina in 1996, your drink was going to be made by a mini bottle. They didn't allow free pour. So it's these restrictions we place on these different industries. And I think what I believe is the convenience economy is driving a lot of these, make things easier.
Right.
And maybe the old, I think some of the generational transfer at play and how we're seeing different folks, make decisions and policies and voices be heard. I love the voice of the people, because at the end of the day, when it comes to the economy, that is a huge, huge player.
Yeah. Looks like here in Union County, I remember growing up here as a kid, it was a dry county. Mm. There was no beer or wine, anything, and then my wife and I, we lived in Nashville for 22 years, and the only reason I moved back here was because we started this here, but it was so funny coming back here and seeing beer and wine in convenience stores and grocery stores and stuff like that. It was funny,
sure, shocking to you.
Yeah, it was,
Yeah.
So,
So Tommy, with you mentioned the corn you're planting in your family's farm,
uh-huh.
will that provide all the corn you need? Is that the plan to be 100%, or you need other?
No, we need this is just a specific corn that we're doing.
Oh, okay.
Our distillers, 2 years ago, I guess they came out with a thing in Indian corn moonshine, and it has a totally different taste because it's a different species of corn, mm-hmm. and some people really love it. We sold a lot of it, and we've had requests to get it back.
Yeah,
and so our distillers had found a source last year. And the bears got into the corn.
bears.
So we didn't have any, and so we're gonna plant our own garden.
the bears.
See what happens, you know.
So to paint a picture for if you're not sure where Blairsville is, you know, it's up in the North Georgia mountains, and bears are part of life.
Oh,
up
yeah,
here.
Man.
Yeah. Yes.
So well, it's got to be a neat thing to have. You know, a farm that I'm assuming has been passed down through the generations, and one of a core ingredient, even if it's from one just one of your products, mm-hmm. to be in, you know, to have that connection between the land and you know the product that your family's name's on.
Yeah. Scott, along those same lines, all of the water that we use here comes from a spring from the Townsend family farm.
Yeah, really?
How about that?
So the water ingredient, and we use a lot of water. Mm. It all comes from a spring.
Yeah.
Well, hang on to that, because it might not be just around the corner when water you can sell it for $5 a gallon. You know, maybe a lot more than that. Water is in demand.
Yes.
So let's talk about if folks want to get more information. MimsMoonshine.com, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
MimsMoonshine.com.
Yeah.
Reach out. Great story. A company that is investing in the community. Just the legacy is really neat. Yeah. And if you're ever in the area, you got to stop in because they'll show, you know, just like we heard them loading trucks. It's all happening right here within the four walls.
Yeah.
And Tom, couple of things to ask you about, because you've got some upcoming concerts. Some are for foundations and community organizations. Yeah. What's on your calendar?
Well, like I say, we got the thing, and then I'm the lead singer for Waylon's band. I kind of stepped into Waylon's shoes with after he passed away, and we've been touring with Waylon Band for about 10 years, but yeah.
Mm. And that's called Waymore's Outlaws.
Waymore's Outlaws, so you can go to waymoresoutlaws.com too, or tommytownsandonline.com, whatever. But anyway, besides being a distillery, here we're also a live music venue.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, we have different concerts during the year. Inside here we do songwriters nights, but some of the things that's coming up locally is June 15th. The Waylon Band's coming down, and we're doing at the Performing Arts Center here at in Union County. We're doing the first foundation for Union County, which promotes childhood literacy. Mm. So we're doing a fundraiser for them. So you can go to eventbrite.com and get tickets. I think it's already about half sold out.
That's great.
900-seater theater. Tickets just went on sale the other day. And then here at the distillery, August the 10th, we're having the Jimmy Van Zandt Cancer Foundation benefit.
Okay.
So we hadn't got all the talent lined up for that yet, but it'll be announced soon.
Was Jimmy in 38 Special?
I don't know.
I can't remember which Van Zandt was in 38 Special.
I think that was
because it wasn't Johnny.
It wasn't Johnny. It may have
been. We'll get Malcolm on that. Yeah. We'll get Malcolm on that. I love 38
anyway,
Special.
Then May the 18th, Roger Allen Wade from Sirius XM Outlaw Channel, he and I are going to be doing a acoustic thing here.
Oh, that's great.
That'd be fun. And we got a lot of stuff coming up.
And you rattled off the name, so tommytownsandonline.com and what was the
waymoresoutlaws.com?
Yes, waymoresoutlaws.com. Mm-hmm. You can learn that more. And of course, if you want to learn more about the product, again, it's mimsmoonshine.com.
Yeah.
There's so much to the story and so much to the industry here. Before we kind of shift off into our announcements for our listeners, what do we miss?
I could have one quick comment, if I may, Scott.
Please.
The reason I got tied in with Tommy and Granddaddy Mims is a very quick story. There were two reasons. One is I tasted the moonshine, and I thought, my goodness, this stuff is good. The other thing is this is a family-run business by really good people. The Townsend family is just an amazing group of people. Tommy's wife is a school teacher that teaches special needs kids. Megan is the distillery manager here. His other daughter, Maggie, works here part-time. His dad, Roy, comes in and bottles. I call Roy the vice president of bottling.
I thought I saw a picture of him on the golf course with Vince Gill.
You did.
Right?
You did.
That is cool.
Yeah. But the entire family is just a tremendous group of people and work hard every day. It's the kind of people you pull for. So that's what drew me to this place out of my retirement. So I wanted to throw that in.
Nah, I love it. Yeah, ton of passion and a huge story. And I've been fortunate to kind of through Fred, kind of plug in more and learn more. Yeah. And I've been up here a couple times. And you know, our supply chain listenership. Hopefully, they can appreciate these kind of departures from business as usual, because we all need. We need to hear a lot of this stuff, these feel-good stories, small business, family-run businesses with plenty of growth upside, plenty of things they're doing.
And this never was a plan of mine. It was so fun.
Yeah.
This, I mean, you know, I'm a musician. My wife's a school teacher, and, you know, I lived in Nashville for a long time. And it was just a fluke conversation that happened with a friend of mine is the only reason that I'm, you know, we got in this business. So we were in Lubbock, Texas, and
Lubbock.
A friend of mine that used to come to Nashville all the time, Jack Keeter. He's a financial planner out in Anaheim, California, and we were together out there. And he grew up in West Texas, but he moved to Anaheim with his family when he was small. But he was talking about moonshiners out there. And I said, my grandfather made moonshine a long time ago. And he's the one that
gave... That was a spark.
Just that little conversation, that was a spark that started it. And he said, y'all ought to get back into that, you know.
Well, y'all have got quite the look, we can't do it justice, but you've got quite the venue, the site. You got several other, it looks like, restaurants, little things you can grow into maybe and beyond the distillery itself, right?
Yeah, maybe. Mostly just here, but there's some mortal shops in here and stuff.
Yeah, sure.
Store
really neat.
Stuff. Yeah.
Really neat. So did Malcolm?
Yeah, that was Donnie Van Zandt that was in 38 Special.
Donnie Van Zandt. So if y'all didn't know, we've got a Supply Chain Now radio research team that Malcolm heads up. So, you know, all the times I put my foot in my mouth, which happens usually about 3.2 times per episode, he weighs in and gets that fixed.
Yeah.
So he's got a team behind him. So, Will, we're going to wrap up on some upcoming events. Tommy and Fred really appreciate the time and hearing you being able to sit down and better understand a story, and for that matter, an industry that doesn't get enough coverage. Mm-hmm. And again, love what you are doing in the community with all this work. And so many businesses, it's all about the dollars, but clearly the passion for serving others is alive and well here in this business at Granddaddy Mims. So love that. So we need to make some announcements before we close out today. So as Will mentioned, Supply Chain Now Radio is going to be at Blueprint 2019. Leadership Business Forum focused on a wide variety of topics.
Yep.
I was glancing through these, Will. Change management, hiring, developing people, inventory optimization, you name it. What else what else are you looking to learn more about on Monday and Tuesday?
Oh, well, it's a lot of the stuff that we were talking about earlier. I mean, joking about just everything that Blue Ridge does is managing demand for companies. You know, for United Distributors in particular, they do that. You know, they have to look and, you know, they go back and look at the history of, you know, how much people are buying, you know, Bud Light or whatever, you know, at the Brave Stadium or down at Mercedes-Benz or wherever, you know, and they have to look at that and forecast that and order the right amount so that they're not carrying all that inventory that costs them money. So that's really what it's about, you know, and you'll see those kind of speakers there, and it's going to be interesting.
Yep. And if you want to learn more, listeners, you can go to blueridgeglobal.com. We're going to be broadcasting live there.
Yes, we are.
From Monday about 12 noon to 5 p.m., and we're still lining up an outstanding list of featured guests. We're looking forward to being there with you and hearing your band Sunday night, right?
We're playing on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Sundogs.
Yep, Sundogs will be playing.
Looking forward to that.
Yep, some version of us.
So, so next up, we want to talk about the proven. We've got a workshop coming up with Bo Groover of the Effective Syndicate. Apex Atlanta, one of our sponsors here at Supply Chain Now Radio, is teaming up with the Georgia Manufacturing Alliance, who's the one that brought the tour up here to Granddaddy Mims. Bo is going to be providing a workshop on proven techniques for continuous improvement on May 10th at Doosan, which I believe manufactures forklifts, if I'm not mistaken. One of the things they do.
All right.
May 10th, you can learn more at GeorgiaManufacturingAlliance.com. Upcoming classes. So for, you know, if you're an organization that has a world-class supply chain like Granddaddy Mims does, you might want to invest in supply chain certifications for your people. We've got APEX classes at Georgia Tech Supply Chain and Logistics Institute, CSCP, and CLTD boot camps coming up the week of June 24th. You can go to scl.georgiatech.edu to learn more. The Association for Manufacturing Excellence, AME, is going to be holding its Atlanta 2019 Lean Summit. Great speakers, best practice sharing, networking, all dialed in on the world of manufacturing. We are pleased to be serving as a media partner and broadcasting live from the first day. You can learn more at AME.org. Sorry, guys, I got to pay the bills here. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Supply Chain Now Radio is a proud media partner of EFT's 3PL and Supply Chain Summit in Atlanta, June 10th through the 12th.
That's
home
right.
Run lineup of speakers. Will, you're going to be there
I'll
with
be
us,
there.
Yep. Along with Ben and Chris and
yep.
and the whole gang. Speakers from Land O'Lakes, Uber Freight, Cisco, UPS, DHL Supply Chain, many more. We're going to be broadcasting live thanks to our friends at Becker Logistics. You can check them out at beckerlogistics.com. Of course, you can check out EFT.com for details or shoot us a note. If you can't find what you're looking for, shoot us a note to scott@supplychainnowradio.com, and we will get you more information. Big thanks to our guests today and our hosts. Again, Tommy Townsend, make sure you check out his album, Turn Back the Clock, at your local record store or Apple, iTunes, Pandora, etc. Check out the distillery at mimsmoonshine.com. And, of course, his compadre, Fred Midkiff, the chief financial officer, wears many hats. It's a pleasure to sit down with both of y'all. Thanks for having us here in gorgeous Blairsville.
It is.
Will, any before we wrap up, any what you thinking about? Tasting some of the
I got to get my apple a day.
Well, great you could join us up here. Short little drive
my
up
pleasure.
From Atlanta. And
yeah.
looking forward to seeing you again on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, I believe.
Yep.
Okay, so be sure to check out our other upcoming events, replays of our interviews, other resources at supplychainnowradio.com. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, all the leading sites where podcasts can be found. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss anything. So on behalf of the entire Supply Chain Now Radio team, this is Scott Luton wishing you all a wonderful week. We'll see you next time with Supply Chain Now Radio. And in the meantime, drink responsibly and tithe on Sunday. Thanks, everybody.
And drink more corn.
That's right.
Thank you.